Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They're my views. And well, today our guest is John Lofton, and John has been involved in the conservative movement for more than 35 years. He's been a weekly editor of the national publication, the Republican National Committee, from 70 to 73. He was the nationally syndicated columnist for United Features from 73 to 80, editor of something called Battle Line, published by the American Conservative Union back in the early '80s, a columnist for the Washington Times, and I could go through all the things he's been involved in, but certainly he's been working more recently with our good friend Michael Perutka, and was communications director for Michael during the last presidential election when Michael ran as the presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. John, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Dr. Stan. I certainly appreciate it.
Well, why don't you, we were going to talk a little bit about today, about what's happening on the national level as far as our political candidates are concerned. And I'd like your take on what is transpiring with the Republican Party, with the Democrat Party, and what about the third party?
Well, the little brief resume I sent you, my biography, brief biography, I refer to myself as a recovering Republican, by which I mean someone who is no longer a Republican, but recovering from having been a Republican. In the early 1970s, as you said, I worked at the Republican National Committee. I was the chief party propagandist for the Republican Party in the early 1970s. My bosses were the first George Bush and Bob Dole, Senator Bob Dole. You remember Bob Dole?
Oh, sure, I remember Bob Dole.
And let me hastily add that I became a Christian in 1980, so one of my excuses for having been a Republican is that I was not a Christian, so I wasn't very smart before I became a Christian. I got active in politics, or interested in politics, I guess, in the Goldwater years, 1963-64. Started reading about that election in the papers, you know, the contest between him and Lyndon Johnson, and I didn't really know Goldwater, but the things Goldwater talked about seemed to make sense to me: constitutional government, limited government, debt-free government. Of course, that was a fluke in the history of the Republican Party. If anybody knows anything about the history of the Republican Party, it's always, from Lincoln onward, with the exception of Goldwater, been the party of big government. So from a Christian, biblical, conservative perspective, I don't really see anybody running for president on the Republican side that I could support.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two as we talk to John Lofton about what's going on. And, of course, then, of course, if we look at the Democrat side, is there anybody that you could support there? Now, the three major candidates being John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, and, of course, Obama. Anybody there that you'd like to think about?
Not for long.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what is. Somebody once said we got a motley crew. That motley crew to consider.
Motley
so
crew.
We're going to be back here in just a moment or two with John as we begin looking. You know, what are we going to do as people who are concerned about the future of our country? I mean, where do we turn at a time like this for the leadership that our country needs? And are we going to get that leadership? And, of course, do the American people deserve that leadership? Maybe that's the best question we should ask. We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, John Lofton. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is John Lofton, and John has been around for a long time, almost as long as I have. He's been around for 35 years. He was certainly in the 1970s one of the architects of the Republican Party's policies and a writer for a number of conservative publications. He refers to himself as a recovering Republican because, of course, he was very involved in Republican politics. But he suddenly began to realize that the Republican Party was moving away from the very moral principles that he believed in, and also from the principles of limited government. And although certainly we are told that the Republicans want limited government and limited spending and a balanced budget and a responsible military and stands for moral issues, and it is the antithesis of the Democrats, when push comes to shove, you realize that both political parties are going exactly the same direction. But, of course, the American people aren't supposed to realize that, and we go to the party every 4 years to throw the scoundrels out, but nothing really changes. So I was asking John, certainly, who he likes in the Republican Party. He says he doesn't like anybody in the Republican Party. He doesn't like anybody in the Democrat Party. So what should the conservatives, what should the Christians of this country be doing? Because John became a Christian about 1980. So as a Christian, you know, looking at our country, should we just be doing nothing?
Well, one of the things that Christians should be doing is not listening to any of the so-called Christian leaders that are involved in national politics, because virtually all the so-called Christian leaders, whether it's Dobson or Robertson or Falwell, are not Christian leaders at all. They are Republican Party cheerleaders. And that is one of the saddest and worst things that happened, in my judgment, in the history of our country, is for these so-called Christian leaders to be totally wholly owned subsidiaries of the Republican Party. I as a Christian, I do not believe that a Christian can vote for a non-Christian. We cannot have unbelievers to rule over us. So the litmus test to apply is whether or not the minimum qualification, in my judgment, is that the person must be a Christian. That does not mean that everyone who says they're a Christian is qualified to be elected to a public office.
Hold that thought right there, John.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so I was asking John what his thoughts were. You know, he doesn't like the people in the Republican Party running for Congress, for president. Doesn't like the people in the Democrat Party are running. And so I asked him what they should do, and John said we should, he said they insist on voting for Christians, if we're Christians now. Excuse me, but are you suggesting that what we want is a theocracy?
Well, theocracy simply means godly rule. Theos is God, and ocracy is rule. So, yes, I want godly government. Absolutely. I want godly men in government who are under, first, the authority of God, of Scripture. Absolutely. That, to me, is the most important thing about someone running for office, is who is your God? What authority are you under? Because if you don't establish that, then the oath that they take means absolutely nothing. When they raise their hand and say, "So help me God," what God are we talking about? Shortly before you called on the network news, I saw a report about Romney. He's down in South Carolina, where his being a Mormon is an issue. It comes up over and over and over. And what Romney says over and over and over is, "Hey, look, I don't think, as I move around the country, people don't really care what kind of faith a candidate has. They just want a person of faith." Well, that's ridiculous. What I mean, everybody has faith in the sense that they believe in something. Does it not matter anymore in America what your faith is? If it's Santeria, if you worship the Egyptian sky god Nut? I mean, what in the world has our country come to if large numbers of people who call themselves Christians are preparing to vote for a Mormon? That's ridiculous.
Well, but of course, many people, John, are going to say, but we don't want to say any specific church to be dictating things. Certainly, I, as a Baptist, would not want the Methodist Church, or I certainly wouldn't want the Catholic Church to be determining the policies of our government. And that is what most people consider when they consider this idea of a theocracy, that some church is going to come to dominate us, as the Anglican Church dominated England, and that was why the Pilgrims and certainly the other groups left there. The Puritans left England because they feared the theocracy that existed.
Exactly, and I want what the Puritans wanted, which is godly rule, not rule by an individual church or a denomination. Most people in America, I think most people, are confused about what a theocracy is. It's not the rule of the church. It's the rule of the Word of God, not a particular church or denomination.
Well, I think that the one thing is that I think we need men in politics who fear God and who will follow his word. But
Then the issue is what God? What God are we talking about? Everybody talks about God.
I think we're talking about the God of the Bible. And America was founded basically on Christian principles. The majority
Absolutely.
Of the people creating our country were a God-fearing people. Not all of them. There were actually people here at that time who had a different agenda, but the majority were God-fearing people. And, of course, the whole idea of the American form of government was we would form a government where the power of the central authority was to be limited by the chains of the Constitution, and men were to be ruled by God, because, as of course William Penn had said so well, those who are not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. So take the chains off of the people, put the chains on government, but you had to stress the influence of the Scriptures, and you had to have godly people, and you had to have godly rulers, and you had to look to the Scriptures as the source of authority, not to man's views of what was best. Would you agree or disagree with that concept?
Oh, I totally agree with it, and that's why the Constitution in America is a dead letter, because it was designed to regulate a Christian people. We ceased being a Christian people generations ago. Therefore, an oath today, just for example, taken by members of Congress, means absolutely nothing. The Constitution, at best, as Dr. R.J. Rush Dooney pointed out repeatedly, he was my theological mentor, is a procedural document. It's a very light set of reins on our people. And when we cease being Christian, then the Constitution became a dead letter. And believe me, of course you do believe me, because you know a lot about this also, there's no document in Washington, D.C., deader than the Constitution. Nobody in any party anymore talks about whether or not laws or proposed laws are constitutional.
And, of course, the thing is, what we need is a nation of laws, not a nation of men, where, of course, you can change the laws at any time as long as you have a majority. And I think that Jay Leno, sometimes I get very angry with him because of his vulgarity, but it was a couple of years ago when he was commenting when they were working on an Iraqi constitution. And he said, look, he says, I mean, they're spending all this time working on an Iraqi constitution, and they're not going to come up with a very good one. Why don't we send them ours? Ours used to work really very well, but we don't use it anymore, so why don't we send it over there? And I think that there's a lot of wisdom in that statement.
Well, there is. There is, and of course, if you've looked at the text, and people can find it online, of the Iraq Constitution, the first thing it says is that the nation is, the top law in Iraq is Sharia. It's Islamic law. That's what our men and women have fought and bled and died for, to enshrine Islamic law, not only in Iraq, but in Afghanistan. They're almost the identical constitutions. I'm talking about the constitutions of those two countries right now as we speak. This is what Bush brags about, that the people voted for these constitutions. Well, read it, and I'm sure you have.
I really have. And, of course, the thing that's one of the most carefully kept secrets here in the United States, because, of course, we're told that, of course, they were over there fighting for democracy. No,
absolutely.
We're fighting to establish Muslim states under Sharia law, and that was what the Iraqi Constitution is. And the fact that most Americans have never heard that is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. But I know our guest today is John Lofton, and John works with the Institute of the Constitution, trying to rekindle in the hearts of the American people an appreciation for the magnificent document that we inherited that has long since been forgotten, but still casts a shadow over the remembrance of things past.
Let me, if I might, make a brief correction. The Institute on the Constitution, which was founded by Michael Peruca and Steve Peruca, is down the hall from me. I am the editor of the American View webpage, which is a separate entity, theamericanview.com. And Michael and I also do a radio show called The American View, which can be listened to on the webpage. And I'm the host of another show, a new show called Eye on Annapolis, which is a local show that keeps an eye on the Maryland legislature from a Christian constitutional perspective. So we're very close in the building, but I do not actually work for the Institute on the Constitution.
All right, well, then I stand corrected.
That's all right.
You did work for them, though, of course, during the campaign, didn't you?
Well, I worked for Michael Peruca as his communications director of the Peruca 2004 campaign.
Okay, very good. Well, anyway,
he's a wonderful boss, by the way.
What are you suggesting that we should do now? Is there anybody in the third parties that we should consider, or should be considering a third party alternative and trying, of course, to find a candidate who could capture the imagination of the American people there?
Well, we did two or three or four radio shows on the American View radio show, which is on our webpage, which asked the question, how can a Christian be most effective in politics? And the first question was, should you be involved in politics at all? Should it be through a third party? Could it be just through a private organization? Could it be through some kind of society? We don't know much about it, but Alexander Hamilton, at the end of his life, founded the Christian Constitutional Society. I've done some pretty detailed research, and there just isn't much available about it, but it was a private group that sat around, not unlike we're doing now, and talked about issues and then went and talked to elected officials. So I'm not really dogmatic about the exact form or way that Christians should behave in politics. If you're young and have a family, your first obligation is to Christianize your family, to lead your family, your children. And maybe for some that'll mean no involvement in politics at all. If you have your family in order, then you probably start with local politics and then state politics and then national politics. The sad thing is that the government, the state, the civil government at all levels has gotten so big and so tyrannical and so lawless that all of us have to be involved, if for no other reason than self-defense.
Well, I certainly think that. Of course, the whole idea is that ever-expansion of government control over the lives of the people, and that's the history of governments down through the ages. In fact, you go back and read the writings of Cicero, where he was talking about how certainly we had to have the budget should be balanced, the foreign spending should be limited, the arrogance of officials should be tempered, and certainly domestic spending should be limited, else Rome will fall. And, mm-hmm. Of course, that's exactly what happened a few years later after they killed Cicero, because nobody wanted to hear his warnings.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has changed since ancient Rome and ancient Greece. Same thing happened there that's happening right here in the United States with massive debts and continuous wars and of course, it eventually will lead to the destruction of society. But, of course, there they turned against their beliefs and turned to immorality, and that's exactly what's going on in America today. It's like deja vu all over again. And what we need, of course, is to get people to understand that what's happening, in my estimation, is not happening by accident. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with John Lofton. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What should a Christian be doing today as far as the affairs of government are concerned? Will we have anybody to vote for next year? Well, I'd like to know what you think. Well, John, I know that some people from your region there, I know certainly David Whitney has run for political office, and one of the people who came out of the Institute of the Constitution is actually now in the state legislature. Did he get mm-hmm. reelected?
Yes, he did. It was a very narrow margin, but Don Dwyer, after all the votes were finally counted, it was, I don't know, something like 25 in that range that he did get reelected. Yes.
All right, fine. Well, of course, Don is a good constitutionalist, and of course, if you adhere to strong principles and talk about patriotism, you know that you're going to have all the aligned forces of the liberal forces against you, but you've got to have a thick skin and be willing to stand for what you believe is right, because we need people in the state legislature and in city councils and county boards of supervisors. We need people who are speaking the truth, else we lose by default. So,
well, that's true, and the reason I say that I believe only Christians should hold public office and that no Christian can vote for a non-Christian is, if you're not a Christian, if you don't believe the Bible, right away you have an insurmountable problem, and that is that you have no idea what is the purpose of the civil government. You're clueless. You have no idea what its limits are. And I've found that it's actually quite controversial to say as a Christian to other Christians that they can only vote for Christians. Many Christians seem to have bought into what is called civil religion. To them, voting is like a sacrament, that they are shocked and scandalized by the statement that we don't have to vote necessarily. We don't have to choose the lesser of two evils. We don't have to pick from among a whole field of people, none of whom are Christians and are godly men. We don't have to do that. But a lot of people who call themselves Christians totally believe in having to pick the lesser of two evils. I assume you've run into that, too.
Right, and yes, that's what we do.
Well, the lesser of two evils, as Michael Peruka pointed out during the campaign, is always evil.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, then what are we going to do at this stage as we begin looking at sometimes, you know, we many times we'll see we have two political parties and neither one of them is fielding a Christian candidate. Lots of people call themselves Christians, but you can tell they don't fear God. And of the major candidates there in the Republican field, even though a couple of them are professing Christians, I see very little in their actions that would make me believe that they are, and I think that's all you can judge them by. So what happens if we have when we end up in November of next year, a non-believer running for the Republican Party, a non-believer running for the Democrat Party? What should people do?
Well, it would depend. It would depend on your state whether or not you could write in a name, I guess. I'm not familiar with all 50, you know, state election laws, but sometimes, as I said, sometimes you just do nothing. You know, the old saying about don't do anything, just stand there. Again, we're not compelled to vote. That's not the only way a person can affect their society, is by voting, and sometimes that means staying home. Or I remember when Michael Peruka was asked that question, he said, run for office. In other words, if you're a Christian and there's no one running for an individual office...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Run yourself.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, our guest this afternoon, John Lofton. And we've got Kelly calling from Colorado. We get our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And the major theme is, what is a Christian's obligation? What should Christians be doing now about our political system? What should they be doing now about the war that if we're going to be engulfed in? So let's get Kelly's thoughts. Kelly, do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Stan, and hi, John.
Hi.
Dr. Stan, I love your show, and I just missed a little bit of it today, but I agree with everything you guys are saying, of course. However, one thing that I disagree on wholeheartedly is that we have an outstanding candidate in the Republican Party, and that's Ron Paul. Ron Paul is a Christian, and I know, Dr. Stan, you're very well aware of him, and I'm pretty sure you are behind him. But I'd like your guest, John, to comment on Dr. Paul, because he will bring this country back to where we were.
All right. We seem as soon as Kelly mentioned Ron Paul, a terrible noise came on. Kelly, I'm going to ask you to hang up. Kelly, I'm going to cut you off.
Okay.
Well, we still seem to have a terrible noise there. I'm going to cut down for a minute. All right. Let's see. I'm going to ask my call screener if they will call John back again. We seem to have an interference there. So isn't that coincidence? Just as soon as we had Kelly call. Kelly, if you want to call back again, obviously the sound was not on your line. It was on John's line. I'm sure it was just coincidence that we actually had that come on just as soon as Kelly mentioned that we do have an excellent candidate, at least according to Kelly, in Ron Paul, who is an evangelical Christian. I've known him for 40 years and have the greatest of faith in him. And let's see what John's response would be to that statement. And Kelly, if you're out there, I cut you off simply because we had to find out where the noise was coming from. So, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to know what you think about what's going on today. What the listeners to our program must understand is that there is an establishment that controls 90-95% of the media. There are not one secret society, but many secret societies and covert organizations here in America, all bound together by one common belief, and that is in creating a one-world government with a one-world leader and a one-world religion. And, of course, what they do is they run candidates on both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. Apparently our guest is not busy. I'll just ask them to actually keep trying to get through, and we'll just see if we can get him. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, don't be bashful. Give me a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, Chris, we'd like to know what you think about the candidates who are running this year. Do you support Congressman Ron Paul? How about Congressman Tom Tancredo? Or, certainly, what about Fred Thompson? They're talking about Fred Thompson, who is the district attorney on Law and Order. Do we want another actor in as president? I mean, what do you think about the last actor we had? Well, let's see who we've got calling on the line. Hi, Kelly. You're back again. I didn't mean to cut you off, but we had to find out where that noise was coming from. Go ahead, Kelly. And it looks like we have maybe we have John back. John, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, that was just...
I thought you gave me the heave-ho there.
I know. We got this terrible noise on the line and came on just as soon as Kelly had called and asked for your opinion on the candidacy of Congressman Ron Paul. What do you think about Ron Paul, his voting record, and his stand on moral issues?
Well, it appears to be fine. My problem, I know that he is a Christian, and certainly from a secular, conservative, libertarian perspective, he's head and shoulders and above all the other candidates. The one thing I don't know, and I don't know because I haven't really interviewed him or tried to find out, actually, I do not literally know if he has a scriptural, principled approach to civil government. I would deduce from his voting record that he may, but that's the only reason I didn't mention Ron Paul.
All right, fine. Well, I do know him, and he's certainly I followed him for 44 years.
Wow.
I've been with this for a long time, I agree with him at just about...
Sure.
At one point, I disagree with him on, and he may be right, and I may be wrong.
What is that? I'm fascinated to hear what that is.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is John Lofton. Our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we were just commenting on the candidacy of Congressman Ron Paul. And I said that certainly I agree with him on just about every subject except one, and he actually may be right and I may be wrong. And he believes that the federal government should not be involved in regulating the sale of interstate drugs, and therefore that the laws that we have against the use of narcotics and other habit-forming drugs should not be in the venue of the federal government, simply because it's not covered in the Constitution. And he believes, of course, the federal government should get out of the business of regulating drugs. And from the constitutional point of view, I agree with him. From the point of view of what the drugs do to the individual, you know, I want to do something to help those people. But, of course, I've studied this for many, many years, and I'm firmly convinced that the Central Intelligence Agency, after having talked to people from the DEA, from the CIA, from the FBI, and from the Customs Service, the CIA is the largest purveyor of drugs in the world. So how can you have a war on drugs when one branch of government is fighting it and the others are promoting it? And maybe Ron Paul is right, although I would hate to come out public and say it, we certainly have lost the war on drugs, and I don't think we could do as bad a job as we're doing at the national level unintentionally. We control Afghanistan today. We have total control of that country, and yet they're producing 90% of the world's heroin. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with the story. So that's the only place I would differ with Ron.
Sure.
And I say he probably is entirely right.
Well, let me say this about Ron Paul. Many, many years ago, over 15 years ago, easily over 15 years ago, I had him on a radio show and interviewed him, and we talked about a bunch of issues. And when I asked him how his faith affected his politics, he said he didn't want to talk about that. And I would also seriously ask the question, if Ron Paul is a Christian, and if he is a libertarian, why does he stay in the Republican Party?
Well,
he has a chance to join the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party.
He wants to get elected, and I believe he's...
Well, but look, Ron Paul would tell you that getting elected is not everything. See, he's one of the people that would say he puts principle above party. Well, he's in the wrong party.
Well,
I guess the Republican Party.
The reality is, of course, as you know, John, that he usually votes against the Republican Party. But of course you can't vote. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is John Lofton, and of course John is very critical of Congressman Ron Paul because he stayed in the Republican Party.
Yeah, of course.
And I would simply say that he votes his conscience, and you can't vote unless you're there. And of course you can sometimes say, well, he shouldn't be in the Republican Party because it's bad. And yet I think there are some good people in the Republican Party. I just think that it's been taken over by wicked people. And you and I would disagree on this. I think that Ron Paul is smart to be there. At least he is a voice of conservatism. And, of course, I would far rather he vote for Ron Paul as a Republican than vote for a man who's not going to get elected. I vote for the man, not for the party.
Yeah. Well, getting elected isn't everything, and he could have given an enormous boost to the Michael Peruca candidacy if he had quit the Republican Party and gone and voted and joined the party that he is most aligned with. I mean, to me, it's just ridiculous for people in private to cheer you on, and then they stay in the Republican Party.
Well, I don't think you get any place by hating the Republican Party. I think what you want to do, of course,
you either stay, wicked men, like
you stay with the Republican Party and try to change it, or...
Oh, well, yeah, I've heard
or,
that.
But you were with the Republican Party for many years, weren't you?
Yeah.
All right.
I've heard that for 40 years, Dr. Stan. Let's stay in the party and change it. And we have the worst Republican Party we've ever had in modern times, and it's produced George Bush, who's given us the most debt-ridden, lawless, ungodly, intrusive federal government in the history of the universe. So the ship has sunk. It's on the bottom. You know, it's the idea that conservatives are somehow going to take over the Republican Party, stay in it, and work for what's good has been a total, absolute flop.
Well, of course, would you criticize anybody who stood on their principles and remained in the Republican Party but voted consistently on the right side?
No, I would say that it is unprincipled to stay in a party that's dominated by wicked men. True, there are some good people in the Republican Party, but good people won't stay there long. They'll say, bad company corrupts good morals.
All right, so which party do you support today?
What's that?
Which party do you support today?
I don't have to choose between the two parties.
Well, but you have to choose the Constitution Party, and there's a lot of problems with the Constitution.
No. You're
going to have to be in one party if you don't want the Republicans or the Democrats Libertarians or the Greens. You got the Constitution Party, you can say, I'm not going to participate in the electoral process.
I happen to be a member of the Maryland Constitution Party.
What about the National Republican Constitution Party?
No, well, we Maryland disaffiliated from them because Howard Phillips and Jim Clymer and others voted in Tampa over a year ago to let the Nevada Party stay in the party, even though they violated the platform on pro-life abortion.
Right. So basically what we have is a divided Constitution Party that can't accomplish anything. Well, I would not criticize Ron Paul. You and I will disagree on that. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295, and I would not criticize anyone who I think is trying to do something to save America. And I think Ron Paul...
Well, Bush says he's trying to save America. We criticize him.
I think Ron Paul has the most outstanding record, voting record in Congress.
And I think Ron Paul could help a more Christian constitutional party by joining it and giving it credibility, not staying in the Republican Party. I mean,
But you've already said that the Constitution Party is divided and fractured, and you've dropped out of it. Your party has dropped out of it. So you really don't have a party there for him to go to.
So what you've done is
you've created an impossible situation, John.
No, because there are alternatives to Christianizing this country other than joining some political party.
Well,
you don't have to join a party.
You're absolutely right. But I would not criticize a man who is being effective.
I don't think he is. What is he affected? What has he affected in the Congress, in the Republican Party? Has he made it more conservative? Not at all. Not at all. Seriously, what has he affected?
I think that he is a voice of reason in a Congress where we have very, very real problems. But of course, he has a large following across America, and he would always depend upon what Ron Paul says to be on the right side. Has he actually announced what?
His candidacy for president.
He has actually formed a committee, and he is actually collecting funds at the present time. It is run for the presidency.
By the way, if you and I agree that we need a political party that is truly Christian and truly constitutional, we agree on that, right?
Right.
Then we need a constitutional Christian party that has some credibility. Nobody knows anything about, for the most part, the Constitution Party. It would be an enormous help to the Constitution Party, which still is better than the Republican Party, if some major Republican conservative defected from the Republican Party. That would enhance the Christian Constitution Party.
Of course, that happened 4 years ago when, of course, Bob Smith did that, and then somehow or other he got stabbed in the back and his career was ruined.
Bob Smith didn't have the clout that Ron Paul does.
But he was a man of principle, and I certainly appreciate his stance on moral issues. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So what should we be doing about the coming war in Iran?
Right. Politics is not my religion, see? I mean, I can take it or leave it. We get the kind of government we deserve. I think we're under God's judgment, and part of God's judgment, if you know your Bible, is he inflicts your nation with rotten, stinking, corrupt, immoral rulers.
Well, I think that you probably are right. I would not simply disagree with you there at all. I think that people have to be involved, but I would not criticize people who I think are trying to do our best, even though I disagree with them.
Well, then we couldn't criticize Bush because Bush says he's trying to do his best. Failing.
I don't believe Bush is trying to do his best. I believe he's serving his
really?
Master.
I think the sad fact is that he thinks what he's doing is his best.
All right, well, you and I will disagree on that as well, John. What do you think should be done as far as the war in Iran is concerned?
War in Iran. Whoops. The war in Iran, you
the
said.
Coming war with Iran.
Oh, the coming war.
We are, for all intents and purposes, yes. are at war with Iran. We have special forces units working there.
Right.
We are financing the opposition. We certainly are. Are doing everything. There have been all sorts of explosions and violence in Iran, financed by American intelligence. So, for all intents and purposes, we are at war with Iran. We've put place sanctions on the government. That's an act of war. What do you think about the course we're following there?
Well, I think that the whole Mideast area is none of our business. It's none of our business what kind of government any of those countries have. I do believe that there are that Bush and his neocon puppet masters all are foaming at the mouth to go to war with Iran. But I think that our armed forces are so broken, that they're so depleted, that such a war simply cannot be waged. Not because they don't want to, but because in the wake of what's happening in Iraq, it's almost like there's nothing left to go to war with.
Well, of course, we have actually three carrier groups, even as many as four carrier groups. We have certainly at the present time, we have the Eisenhower and the Stennis in the Gulf. There's also the Boxer, which nobody talks about, and the Nimitz is moving there. So
even though our
military, our army is fairly well broken, we do have, of course, a complete brigade of Marines there on eight ships waiting to be landed. And then
what?
Well, of course, that is the question that I think everybody would ask, but it's almost as if they're intent upon destroying the American military.
Well, I'm encouraged every time I read a story about how the armed forces are broken. That maybe that means that we won't use them in another stupid, unnecessary, ungodly, unconstitutional war like Iraq. I mean, there's a proverb that says that a person who meddles in a fight that's none of his business is like picking a dog up by the ears. And we've picked up a lot of dogs by the ears all over the world, and we're getting our face eaten off by them. And we're getting what we deserve. We're getting what we deserve. And the Middle East, Israel has tons of nuclear weapons. Let them police their own neighborhood. How about that?
All right, so you're in favor then of just pulling out and letting Israel unleash a nuclear war?
No, I'm saying that's their neighborhood. Why should we've given Israel over $100 billion in aid since 1948? Why are they on the sidelines of all these fights? The first Gulf War, this war in Iraq, Afghanistan. Why aren't they policing their own neighborhood? They are the 800-pound gorilla in that area. They keep talking about tiny little Israel surrounded by all these hostile people. Israel could incinerate that whole area with their nuclear weapons. Why do we have to go over there and fight to defend them? It's ridiculous.
Would you really want to unleash a nuclear war in the Middle East?
I'm saying that Israel can defend itself in that area. Look, the main reason we're over there is to defend Israel. That's why we're there.
I see. Well, of course.
That's what I believe.
All right, fine. Well, of course, ask Michael for a copy of my latest newsletter, which I really get into. Perhaps a little different take on that, but we'll agree to disagree on that. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for our guest. What do you think will happen as far as the immigration situation is concerned? Because many people are really very, very concerned about the immigration invasion that we're having. Really, it is an invasion. It would appear, of course, that there's almost like a planned program by some people in our country to convert America into a multiracial, multicultural society. How do you feel about the problems we have with immigration?
Well, we are entering into a really death wish kind of suicidal policy on immigration, which has gone from people who favor open borders to people in the legislature, in our legislatures across the country, who actually want to give government help to illegal immigrants. I recently did an interview with a fellow here in the Maryland legislature, Victor Ramirez. He wants to help illegal immigrants pay in-state tuition to go to the state universities. In fact, in one of his hearings, there's a photo of it we're going to put on our webpage. A 21-year-old young man testified in favor of legislation to get Maryland state aid to go to school, and he announced in his hearing that he was an illegal alien, and nobody did anything. This is just ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. It's suicidal. It's endangering our national security. But you know what, Dr. Stan? You have to be a real American to care about this, see? And if you're a New World Order person or an internationalist or you're a citizen of the world, you don't care. You don't care about America. That's an antiquated concept, see?
Well, of course, when you talk about the internationalists, who are these internationalists? What is their ultimate goal?
Well, Bush is one. Bush, President Bush, his father even used the phrase the New World Order that he was for. We're talking about organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, which is full of Democrats and Republicans. We're talking about the free trade scam, exporting American jobs. That whole crowd, whether it's Republican or Democrat, they all believe the same thing. There is no difference in principle. They may argue some degrees, but there's no difference in principle between the two parties. They don't care about America. They're not real Americans.
All right. Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree. You and I would agree on that, John. I believe that there is an agenda to transform America. It's been underway for a long time because these people's loyalty is not to the United States, but to this dream of establishing a world government. And it's very difficult to understand what's going on in the Middle East or what's happening here or a globalist trade party, a policy, or transferring of our jobs and certainly of our manufacturing overseas, unless you understand it's part of a long-range plan. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. Well, let's go.
Sure.
Let me say one other quick thing about
Israel. When you look at this project for a new American century and look at their webpage and their writings, and when you listen to what the neoconservatives said, like Richard Perl, and by the way, did you know that PNAC document that talked about overthrowing Saddam Hussein and basically making war on Iraq, it said in that document, which is on the Project for a New American Century webpage, that it was unlikely the United States would get involved in the overthrow of Hussein, unless there was some kind of Pearl Harbor-type incident that allowed us to do that. Did you know that one of the signers of the PNAC statement was Gary Bauer?
Yeah, that's right, Gary Bauer, of course. But you have to understand, you have to go back and see who the people were who formed this organization. And they're some of the most influential people in America today.
But they always talked about how we have to move against Saddam Hussein because he's a threat to Israel. I saw Tom DeLay being interviewed on network television talking about, what's he going to do now? And he said something like, he's going to get the Republican Party back to its conservative roots and defend Israel.
Well,
and I thought, what is with the defend Israel? I don't think Israel is a friend of ours. See, I think the USS Liberty, you know about that. You know about the Jonathan Pollard situation, arguably the largest act of espionage ever committed against America by an Israeli agent. So Israel acts in their own self-interest, and if that means killing Americans or spying on us, they do it. So I don't think that they're necessarily all that friendly.
All right, well, we once again probably would disagree, but let's go to B here in Salinas. Hi, Bill. Hey, B. How are you doing? B, are you there?
This is Ben.
Oh, Ben. Okay, Ben and Salinas.
Yes, Doctor, I must compliment you on the quality of this gentleman you have speaking. You don't know how refreshing it is to hear a man of God who speaks with anger. He calls a rabid dog. this Department of Homeland Security is what was Hitler to the fatherland, to the Gestapo.
Sure.
This gentleman, this man of God, who I wish I could be equal to his anger and fervor, I say, everything the man is saying is absolutely true. God bless you, sir. And, man, I wish we had 200 million more of you. We wouldn't be watching our people die for nothing and the treasury being looted. I say, walk on in the name of God and keep your anger, sir, and I'll hold your right hand, and I'll be proud to die by your side fighting for this country.
Thank you very much, Ben. Ben, bye-bye. And let's go to Kelly in Colorado.
Well, wait a minute. I need to recover from
okay.
the idea.
Okay, you go right ahead.
I need to recover from the idea of there being 200 million of me.
Right.
That even scares me. But I hope he will go to our webpage. Can I give him the address of the webpage?
Go right ahead.
Our webpage is theamericanview.com. Theamericanview.com. Thanks, Dr.
All right, Stanley. Fine. Let's go to Kelly, calling again from Colorado. Go ahead, Kelly. We lost you there before.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan.
Sorry.
I totally agree with the caller before. John, you've got excellent points. But, Dr. Stan, I listen to you every single day, twice a day. I listen to you on GNC and also locally here in Denver. And I've never got upset at somebody like I have today. And, again, I agree with everything John is saying. But going back, and I hate to bring back up Ron Paul, but to say that, you're not going to push somebody because he's in a Republican Party, I say we use the New World Order's tools against them. Now, we know that the Republican Party...
Hold that thought right there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kelly. Make your point.
Okay. I think we should use the tools that the New World Order puts out there, and I know that the Republican Party is one of their tools, but it has been infected by us. And when I say us, the people that want the country back, that want God back, and that want the Constitution back, Ron mm-hmm. Paul will bring that. And just to flat out say, no, I'm not going to support this man because he's in the Republican Party, it just is ludicrous to me. And I think if John, if you're there, if you were to push on your radio show and on your web pages, Ron Paul, that's millions of more people that may not be aware of Ron Paul, and that will help him get elected. There are millions of people that they're pulling him off websites because he's beating everybody in the Republican Party, and they're calling him a cheater. But he's not cheating just because there's a grassroots that's growing and are pushing behind him. And if you could help us help him, we can get this country back. But just to flat out dismiss him because he's in the Republican Party, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But otherwise, I love you, John. I agree with everything
sure.
you said.
Let me respond briefly because maybe I didn't make myself clear. I did not say flatly that I would not vote for Ron Paul as a Republican. What I said was I'm not sure that he has a biblical philosophy of government. I think he's more of a libertarian, and this drug thing that Dr. Stan alluded to indicates that to me, that he's more of a libertarian than he is a Christian. And the second point I would make is that I would call on Ron Paul to get out of the Republican Party, that if he is a Christian and a constitutionalist, his party has left him. It is gone. It is over. And he could be much more effective, I believe, not in trying to change the Republican Party, because it's gotten worse since he's been in it.
But that would be like saying that Jesus shouldn't have hung around whorehouses, because Jesus did do that because he wanted to save the whores and that type of thing.
Well, but wait a minute, Kelly. How's it going? There are more whores than ever in the Republican Party.
And there hasn't been anybody like... I agree. And that's why we need...
Then it's not working.
I don't want to get into a shouting match.
I don't want to get into a shouting match.
This is not Rosie O'Donnell. Thank you so much for calling, Kelly. Thank you so much for calling, John, and I appreciate your being with us today. John?
Yes, sir.
I just want to thank you so very much for being a guest
here. Sorry. Well, God bless you, Dr. Stan, you and your family and your work, and I appreciate you having me on as a guest.
All right. God bless.
Thank you, sir. Give my best to Michael.
Bye-bye. Oh, bye-bye. Okay, fine. This is Dr. Stan here, and our guest has been John Lofton, and, of course, I just don't think that a shouting gets any place. I appreciate the views being expressed. Certainly, it's going to be a very interesting presidential election. We'll be doing more programs. We'll be having Ron Paul as our guest next week here, right here at Radio Liberty. So just hang on. You'll never know when he's going to be here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Now, you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day at RadioLiberty.com, and there's a live streaming of our Telstar 5 programming, where my programs are repeated several times, as are Joyce Riley. So go to RadioLiberty.com, click on live audio, go to Global Star 4, and you can 9 hours a day of Radio Liberty, 9 hours a day of the Power Hour. That ought to be enough talk radio for you. Anyway, then, of course, we hope that you'll very seriously consider getting the things which will explain what is really going on. You need to get, of course, my talk on the forbidden secret, which, of course, answers the question raised by raised in this DVD that's being circulated across the country titled The Secret. You really need to understand what the forces are that are energizing this movement. This pagan movement that has been popularized by Oprah Winfrey called The Secret. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, the DVD, Forbidden Secret. And I will tell you, I gave this talk before, of course, Rhonda Byrne's DVD and book were released. And then, of course, we want you to get my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the book, or the video. We want you to get Chris Pinto's The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, and the Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. Now, what does this have to do with anything? What does this have to do with what's going on in the Middle East? Everything. You cannot understand the coming war with Iran unless you understand America's destiny as it was laid out hundreds of years ago by the occult forces who were working here at the same time as the Christians were establishing our constitutional system of government. And so you need to have this information, and you need to help us get it out so people will understand we're involved in the spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. So here again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you have not, first begin to make preparations for the very difficult times that are coming, and I really believe that we are going to, whether in a matter of weeks or months or possibly even years, but I really think a matter of a few months, we would be expanding the war in the Middle East, and there are going to be terrible complications and ramifications here at home. Why, if you'd like a catalog on emergency foods or certainly on medicines, vitamins and things like that you should have on hand, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. If you don't have your water filters, water storage units, but water filter preferably so that you can purify water. You can get by without food, but you can't get by very long without water. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. Look at the various items we have, that you'll tell other people about our programs. And then, of course, you begin preparing yourself spiritually for what lies ahead. And if you have not yet read in many years Corey Tedboom's book, The Hiding Place, we're offering it again. If you already have it, reread it. Then Don Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Why do you need these two books? Well, because I think they will prepare you for an understanding of why terrible things can happen to good people and how God can use those. And I just hope that the information you get from Radio Liberty will help you prepare yourself and your family for what lies ahead, because I really hate to say it, but I suspect that the America we've known will not exist in a few years. It will simply become a remembrance of things past, for as John Lofton said, God does bring judgment on countries, and I fear God's judgment is coming to America. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.